Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
All right. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. And we have a great show lined up for you. Scott is here and he is just full of it. I'm not sure what it is, but he's just got all this energy and he's ready to go. So let's go, Lisa.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
He looks like you're ready, man.
Did you see Lisa shutting me up?
Well, she has shared with me that she does get a little concerned you might run over, but we think we've got the program worked out. Listen.
Gee whiz.
You look like you're ready for something. You got this look about you. I know, you know, it's you're in that market and you're looking at what's happening, but you just have this a fire in your eye today.
All right.
Do you?
Nah.
Have you been out doing yard work or something?
No.
Got your new leaf blower going?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Well, Friday's trade, which should be a surprise to no one, was pretty boring. A Friday before a three-day weekend.
What do you say? You always say, Scott, that you know people will I'll get rid of the risk before the weekend, right?
Yeah, which they did, I think, in large part yesterday or Thursday, I should say, because Friday's market just was no volume, no activity, news reports, no nothing. The Dow ended up down 75. S&P basically flat, down 3. NASDAQ down 2. Not much going on. Even the commodity markets, which are pretty consistently volatile, oil virtually flat, still just north of 90. I'd like to see it just peak its head down below 90 for a close.
Down to like 89 on Thursday or Wednesday?
Wednesday, I think. Gold up 14 on Friday's trade at 1571. Tens at 1.74. Still a lot of money looking for a safe place to hide. And not only tens as a safe place to hide, but the dollar as a safe place to hide.
Look at that.
Yeah, 1.25 on the dollar-euro trade.
I think it's going to get worse. When I say worse, it's going to be less dollars to buy more euros.
Yeah, I don't think there's... The trend is really, really strong that way.
Really good for oil, really bad for exporting.
Yeah, particularly manufacturing.
But if you want to buy a new Honda, they'll be cheaper.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear your itinerary from your trip to Europe that you're going to book.
Man, have you been talking to my wife that I don't know about behind my back?
No.
She, you know, it would make for a wonderful trip. Right now, I can't do that. But it is, if you've never been to Europe, it's a beautiful place to go.
All right, I'll check with
you. I don't know that I would want to live there because they got their hands full, but it's a great place to visit.
Yeah, right now you certainly wouldn't. Just a little teeny bit of news. Friday's trade consumer sentiment number came out, University of Michigan number. Best number we've had since October of 2007.
So there's a disconnect. All that good news, all people are feeling better. Their sentiment is higher, but the market is lower.
Yeah, and consumer sentiment is very much a leading indicator.
So you're thinking, and you've been kind of giving me a hint here. Scott tries to coach me a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. He's hinting to me that he thinks that the market's going to firm up here and start to get on a run.
Yeah, I think we've been building a base, and I think we have some. I think we have pricing in the market that is ripe for a push. I think we have to get through these June 17th Greek elections, just so some of the uncertainty gets flushed out of the market.
Nothing may
a little
change
bit
with regard to that. It and you think some of the rhetoric will die down after that?
I think so. I mean, it's the same way in our country. It's all rhetoric and pandering to the extremes, and then as soon as you get in office, you have to become
then
a centrist.
Then you got to govern.
Yeah, that's right. So
yeah.
I think we'll see the same thing there. But some more negative news from Europe. European shares mostly flat on Friday. They will be open on Monday, so we can watch that a little bit. Bankia, which is one of the major banks in Spain, requested $24 billion. That's 19 billion euro. From the government to just sort of shore up their balance sheet. That's a much bigger number than was originally expected. And also, S&P came out and they cut the credit rating on 5 Spanish banks. Now, Moody's had cut the credit rating on Spanish banks a week previous, so that wasn't a shock either. But, you know, it's just a little bit more weight on the scales, that's all.
Yeah, I think we just have to watch it and see what plays out. But I think unless there's a big shock, there's really nothing new there.
Yeah, I agree. We talked a little bit earlier about money coming out of Greek banks in massive waves. They're also seeing that in Spain and Italy. They're expecting another 200 billion euros or so to come out of Spanish and Italian banks. So there's still going to be some pressure on banks there. Looking at the week ahead, although it's a short week, there's a lot of news in the week ahead. S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index on Tuesday. Wednesday brings us the pending home sales number. Thursday, we start to get the really important jobs numbers, the Challenger jobs cut. We get the ADP employment report, which we normally get on Wednesday, but since it's a short week, we get it on Thursday. Third look at GDP on Thursday, as well as jobless claims. And then finally Friday, the big one is the non-farm payroll. That's the headline unemployment rate, so we'll get that. And then the last thing I wanted to tell you about is you have to give you your Facebook news. For a while, I had to give you Apple news, but now I have to give you Facebook news. There's a pretty interesting article on MarketWatch written by a guy named Mark Hulbert, whose things I follow a little bit more closely than some of the folks out there. And he is saying, based on historical earnings growth after an IPO launch and using a valuation similar to an established company like Google, Facebook's shares current value, $14, something like that.
Wow.
It's a pretty compelling study, too. They went back and they studied employment and revenue growth for U.S. IPOs from 1996 to 2010. Basically said over that time period, over 5 years after the IPO, revenue grows on an average about 212%. So if Facebook does that, it puts its annual revenue 5 years from now at about $12 billion. If you take a multiple on that revenue and use the same multiple that Google has, that's where that $14 comes from.
So it's forward-looking. It does assume some pretty significant growth.
And some big assumptions, too.
And some big assumptions, but still, there's a lot of people that probably would agree with you, Scott, that it is overvalued.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that
stock. The percentage of people that are still shorting the stock is pretty high.
It's really high.
It's shockingly high. 25 or 30% of the trades are shorting the stock.
And to make that whole matter worse, some of the underwriting syndicate, like the Goldman Sachs, who are out there telling their institutional clients, you need to buy this stock, $38
is
a terrific price.
Don't tell me they're shorting it.
They're borrowing it to give to other clients to short. It's not illegal. It's not uncommon. But, you know, it's just one thing stacking up on top of another. The lead underwriter, Morgan Stanley, did not do that. But Goldman and the rest of the underwriting syndicate apparently have been borrowing shares to short.
Don't we call that? You know what we call that in the South? We call that talking out both sides of your mouth.
Absolutely. And they made profit on both sides of that trade.
You hear the silence, ladies and gentlemen. That's just staggering. This is why you need independent advice, right? Right?
Yeah, it's a tough game out there.
I mean, you know, you hire somebody to manage your money for a fee and none of this nonsense, none of this talking out both sides of your mouth, none of this shenanigans.
Yeah, and no exposure to Facebook. You know, we never had any intention.
You think we ever will?
It's not impossible. I mean,
it'd have to pull back pretty strongly for us to want to take a look at it, right?
Yeah, and for me to add a position to the portfolio, I like to see a couple of years of history to see how things behave in different environments. We don't buy anything that hasn't had at least 3 years of history that we can observe.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to say, Scott, you have to be history now. We got to get on the rest of the program. I know that breaks your heart. Get to those portfolios, sir. We're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. I have a special treat for you. A good friend of mine, her name is Donna Harris. She's an attorney, and she specializes in divorce mediation, and you do not want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and you probably heard me before the break. I'm excited. A friend of mine, Donna Harris, who I don't get to see very often, she and I met a few years back at a conference on how to do television, and I met her, and we became fast friends. Donna, are you there?
I am here, David. Really good to talk to you.
All right. So glad to have you on the program. I always enjoy talking to you.
Thank you.
I've asked Donna to be on the program, ladies and gentlemen, because Donna has a special practice area. Let me do a quick introduction, and you correct me where I get it wrong, okay, Donna?
Okay.
Donna is an attorney. She practices exclusively in divorce litigation and acts as a mediator.
Right.
And handles what, about 4 or 5 divorces a week?
Yes, I schedule mediations 4 to 5 days a week, and usually one will cancel or reset, or the folks will settle their own case by agreement, but normally I average around 4 per week.
Okay, and you're in Texas?
I am in Dallas, Texas,
all right.
Big D.
And so your typical day, I'm sure it starts early. You get up, you get to the office, and you have the two parties come in, they have their attorneys, and your goal for the day is to get them to agree to a settlement, a marital property settlement, and all the other terms of their divorce. And by the end of the day, they've got an agreement on how they're going to get divorced.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow. Well, first of all, you probably have an honorary doctorate in psychology.
I think I mentioned to you one time, David, that, and I've actually told judges this, that I have enough personality disorders to serve most needs.
So, unfortunately for us in Florida, you know, you're not here to help us here, but
right.
But you can help us from where you are with your expertise and your experience. You've done this a long time.
Right.
And so we're seeing trends in the divorce area, and you and I were talking a little bit before we started the program.
Right.
There's a big trend, of course, with, and this will make you even busier than you are, there's a big trend in what we call this, the graying of divorce, or the gray divorce, which is a lot of older or longer term couples, that's probably a better way to put it, people that have been married for 20, 30, or even 40 years decide to get divorced at an older age.
David, I've never seen anything like it. Usually divorces in the last 10, 15 years have been folks that have been married 4, 5, 6, under 10 years, I'd say. But I literally have increasing numbers of folks who've been married 20, 25, 30. I divorced some folks. I didn't actually divorce them, but I helped them reach an agreement on their estate. And they were both in their mid-70s. They'd been married over 40 years. And you just ask them why.
Wow.
And they can't really give you a reason, but it's definitely an increasing trend.
Well, I wanted to be prepared, so you'll be proud of me. I did my homework. I found some of the reasons, and you know, with longevity, what it is, of course, that maybe the 70-year-old couple is looking at each other and going, I don't want to spend the next 20 years with this person.
Yes.
That's part of it. The other is, of course, that there's a trend that more and more women are making the decision to leave the men, which used to not be that way. And what we're seeing is that the women are leaving, seeking emotional fulfillment.
Right.
Because the kids move out, the empty nesters.
Exactly.
And the men leave for somebody else.
Right.
And so we see that.
Very true.
It's also the life expectancy, which we mentioned. There's also, of course, a thing that nobody wants to talk about, and it's unpleasant and very sad part, the infidelity, the emotional abuse, and substance abuse or alcohol abuse.
Very common, very common. Each one of those categories I see weekly in my office.
I admire what you do. Part of me says, wow, that would be really interesting. But you have a special capacity, because that really would take a toll. So
it does, David. I'll tell you, however, I hate to admit it, but I'm 60 years old, and when I was licensed in 76, my first couple of decades of practicing law was in the trenches as a trial lawyer, and I tried a lot of lawsuits and got so burned out at it, truthfully, that I just didn't think I could call one more witness. And
wow.
Thanks to the Lord, or the cosmos, to whoever's up there, I'm grateful to them every day that mediation came along, because that is a way that I can help these high conflict families stay out of the courthouse.
Well, because when you walk in the courthouse, tell our listeners, what happens in the courthouse that doesn't, you know, what you get by doing mediation versus going to the courthouse?
When you walk into courtroom, David, you are literally surrendering the issue of your children, your property, your debts, your spousal maintenance. Everything involved in a divorce is being surrendered to a stranger to decide, and that stranger is the judge.
And he's going to decide it.
Up.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that is amazing, I guess, is in a good way and also just a sheer power, a judge has an enormous amount of power.
Yes.
Once people step into that courtroom, it's almost for the jurisdiction that he or she has, it's almost like a kingship.
It truly is.
And they can wield, I mean, you say the wrong thing, guess what? You are literally behind bars.
That's the truth. I mean, I've seen that happen.
They can put you in contempt. Bailiff, escort.
Hope you brought your toothbrush.
Yeah.
That's
so,
kind of the corny bailiff saying.
Yeah. And so these are real issues that you are dealing with. So I'm going to take a quick break, Donna. And when I come back, I would love for you to talk to us about some of the things you've seen. And really, I think the thing our listeners are going to want to hear is, what can they learn from you that they can apply in either dealing with their own divorce or also being prepared for it? Because a lot of people know it's coming before it happens.
I'll do my best.
All right. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We have a special guest, a good friend of mine, Donna Harris, attorney, and she is a mediator dealing with divorces in Dallas, Texas.
That's correct.
There she is. all right. So, Donna, blindsides occur. People get blindsided in divorces. That doesn't just happen on Survivor, right? It happens in divorces. So what would you say to the people out there listening that are saying, you know, I might get divorced or I think this might be happening? Do they try to prepare themselves? What can they do so they just don't get their head handed to them?
The most important thing, David, the number one time that they should devote to is to make sure they know what their assets are. I'm astounded by the people who walk in my office, male and female alike, truthfully, David, that don't know if their spouse has retirement plan or if it's an annuity type or is it a lump sum payment. They don't realize there's penalties. You need to know what your income is, what your assets are, where you bank, do you have brokerage accounts, is to have knowledge of what you own and what you owe and the interest rates on your credit cards.
Exactly.
To know what your estate consists of.
Get this. I've got statistics to back up everything you're saying. Wall Street Journal did an article, and 31% of adults who have combined assets with a spouse say they have been deceptive about their money. That's a third of people.
I see it.
60% have hidden cash.
Absolutely. I literally had a lady one time, we called it the cold cash. And her husband found, they were self-employed, had their own business. She had saved over the many years of their marriage $100,000 cash, just dead presidents, and had them in the freezer.
Wow.
People are not honest with each other in the finances.
Well, and fortunately for the what I will call the disenfranchised or out spouse or the one in the dark, the technology that is advancing so quickly is helping turn the lights on for them.
That's true.
And so number one on your list is know what you got.
Absolutely, at all times, and keep informed of how it changes and where are the records to prove what you have, and just know what your assets are.
Well, yeah, because if they come in and you're trying to help mediate a resolution and they've got two sets of facts, there's no way they're going to get on the same page if you don't even have a clear picture of both of them and understand what's there.
At least half of the day, I spend 8 hours with folks for the most part, full-day mediations, and generally, David, half of the day, literally, is trying to get the husband and wife on the same page on what they own.
Right. You can't,
what is
you can't,
the value of the house.
Yeah. You can't talk about who's going to get what until you figure out who's got what.
They don't seem to understand that. You don't know what half is till you know what the whole is. That's so true.
Well, so, okay. So and I wanted to make one comment because it's so important. It included with knowing what you have. And this is for, I'm going to gear this toward the women, although it's just as true for men, but we see it more with women, is that they don't participate in the financial transactions and what goes on. I have plenty of clients that start out where the man might come in by himself.
Right.
And so guess what? When they come back in, if they don't have their wife, we're not having the meeting.
I have so much admiration for that because it's imperative. And it is, I hate to stereotype, traditionally the woman who does not do anything but stick her head and let her husband, you know, handle finances.
Well, and because, you know, let's say the husband is meeting with the broker or the advisor or the planner, and and hopefully somebody that's got credentials and education knows what they're doing. But if he's thinking of doing something, if he's thinking of skipping town, so to speak,
right?
He could be doing things with that broker that you'll never know. But if you are involved, if the woman's involved, it's a lot harder to do.
A lot harder to do. I have people who come in my office routinely, David, and once lawyers are hired and come on board, they do discovery. And during the discovery process, one spouse will find out that the other one took out $30,000 out of a brokerage account last year or took a distribution from their 401k, creating tax consequences. And the other spouse is oblivious to it, doesn't even know that it happened. And frankly, a lot of times, didn't even know they had the account. So
that's just, I know it's real, and you deal with it every day. It's a staggering thing, and I think a lot of people would be surprised that it goes on every day.
Every day of the week. Knowledge truly is power. And I think that people, especially women, feel like they're not smart enough to understand about finances. Oh, I'm not good at math.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. Heck, anybody's got a calculator. If they find somebody like you and can just bring a tax return, that'll list assets. If they can just sit down with someone who can explain it to them in a layman's terms, best thing they can do for themselves.
No question. And you know what else, Donna? I'll tell you the truth about this, and this is good for the women listening. I've had plenty of clients I've worked with. Of course, I'm not going to single out which ones, but I've had plenty of them where the woman, I can tell she's totally on track and getting and understanding what I'm trying to convey and explain.
Good.
And the husband's not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you right now, there are plenty of women I've worked with, both married and single women, that are very sharp. Even if they don't have a financial background, they're going, I get what you're telling me and I understand it. So if anybody feels that way out there, especially the women, it's not true.
That's true.
And absolutely. You know what else? We're going to take another quick break. Before we do, though, Donna, you know, one of the other things I want to share is that it's not just for divorce. The same thing applies, knowing what you got and where it is and being involved, is if the other person dies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If your spouse dies and you don't know what you own, how do you know where to get it?
There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Okay. We have Donna Harris on the phone with us, and we're just getting up to date on all the divorce issues, especially in mediation. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell I'm really enjoying myself doing our interview with Donna. She's so much fun to talk to. And okay, Donna, so people know they need to be involved. And I guess, you know, we've talked about the need to know what you've got and where it is. I know that when we arranged for you to be on the program, we said, you know, think of some stories or something you can share with the listeners that help them understand why it's so important to be involved, know what you've got, and to be, you know, I guess to have the insight into where things are. Anything you can share with us to really drive this point home?
You know, it fits in with the grain of divorce. Older women who have been a homemaker and not normally worked outside the home and have stuck their head in the sand, David, and been oblivious to what the finances are, and they look up and one day their husband decides to leave.
Yeah.
Well, what they find out is that his income leaves with them.
Yeah.
And if they don't have a nice portfolio, any portfolio, you have an older woman facing a situation, and often, sadly, they're not as well educated as you might like. They don't have a work experience. They've been out of the workforce forever. They are literally faced with not only a devastating change in lifestyle, but having to get a job at minimum wage. Those are the ones that make me so sad I see walk out of here with shock on their face.
Well, help me understand this. And again, this is something I know that you've seen plenty of. Is there adequate advocacy? I know that, usually the folks that come in to see you are represented by attorneys. Or is it more they're not? Is it both?
It's both,
okay.
Actually. There are always good doctors and not so good doctors,
okay.
Good lawyers, not so good lawyers, good financial planners, not so good ones. most lawyers, like most other folks, do a competent job of representing their clients. But the key is, David, that a lawyer or a judge cannot create assets.
True.
And they can't create debt. That means the judge cannot say, well, gosh, ma'am, you really do deserve a lot more money. I'm going to make your husband go borrow money to give to you.
Right.
Can't do that.
Right.
So the sadness that I see, the saddest cases are the ones where people have lived beyond their means. They've paid no attention to their finances. They've borrowed against their 401k. They've done no financial planning prior to the divorce. And then you're in damage control, and you're just trying to stop the bleeding. So the best way to have a good divorce is to know what your assets are and take care of them long before divorce may arrive.
That's really the point. And I think, and a part of me just wants to scream for, especially for the women or the one who's not knowledgeable, doesn't matter
right.
which one it is, to have that financial advocacy. It's almost like I want to say, look, you need somebody in your corner. Not just an attorney, you need somebody helping you figure this stuff out. And a lot of times, especially when we talk about great divorce, the woman knows she's not happy.
Right.
And she's thinking about getting divorced. You know, maybe she's being very strategic. And I think for her own self-preservation, she needs to be. And she's thinking 6 months or a year ahead to get her ducks in a row, so to speak.
Right.
Is that the place then for her to say, okay, I'm going to get all the information I can and go see an attorney, but also go talk to a financial planner, say, here's what the assets are, help me understand all this stuff?
My absolute recommendation, honestly, before anyone, truthfully, more male or female, but especially in that instance, David, go see a financial planner. I recommend that to women who walk out of my office with whatever size estate they have. It's almost too little too late at that point, but at least go see someone then. But the best thing anybody can do if they're planning on divorce is to go to an expert, find out the kind of assets you have. Is it going to be helpful to me for my living? Is it going to be useful for my retirement? Should I put it up and forget it? Or is it something I can draw down on to pay my lifestyle? Educate yourself. And nobody knows everything. Everybody has a specialty. And that's what a financial planner is for, is to explain options, explain categories of assets, how they work, are they tax deferred. It is imperative that people become more aware of what are their assets and how can they be utilized most effectively.
Yeah, you've nailed it, Donna. And I mean, for a woman, if she gets the house and she gets the IRA and the mortgage and he walks away with all the cash, she may have a severe problem.
They don't recognize that. A woman gets unnaturally attached to her home. Now, let's say the house payment's $2,000 a month. Well, she can't make that kind of a payment and a car payment and utilities and credit cards and whatever else if all she has is a minimum wage income and minimal spousal maintenance for a number of years. So it's just being realistic in what your options are, educating yourself. And the main thing, David, I'd like for people to hear, if anything from me, aside from going to someone who is not... You've got so many letters behind your name, you know it all.
Well, but, my wife would disagree with that. But
okay, well, we won't let her be on the interview then.
We won't ask.
Is someone like you can demystify it. You can put it in layman's terms. You can explain them to them such that it doesn't seem like it's Greek or Sanskrit, that it's something they are capable of understanding. And it is such an empowering, liberating feeling to understand and know what your assets are and what you can rely on, no matter what your circumstances.
Well, Donna, I would love for you to continue to talk about me. I thank you very much, but unfortunately, we really are out of time. I tell you what, though, before I let you go, I want you to think about something. You and I need to write a book together.
I would love to.
So we're going to talk about that, and hopefully maybe a 6 months or maybe a year more realistically, we'll tell folks and have you back on, and we'll tell them about our book.
I'm looking for it. You're the best, David. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you very
you
much,
good work.
Donna. All
appreciate
right.
it. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.